You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Now, back to
Will and Debbie
on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, it's Willie and Debbie. And we're like 26 hours from the start of the draft.
I'm pumped. I love it. I like the pick. I like the player. I do like the chime. I like the...
Well, the chime is good.
And I also like the highlights and the instant breakdown. And, I think it was a reach, Jim.
Who did that, by the way? Like, that, there are royalties on that. Who did the little ding-ding, 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 ding? Like, that guy's a billionaire. You ever meet any of those people? Because some of them live in the Bay Area. Like, the people who came up with the little thingamabob, and they're like a bajillionaire.
Like which one?
Well, anything. Anything like that. I try not to do the drop, because I don't really know the guy. But, like, let's put it this way. My son's sort of acquaintance at high school, his dad... So we've, like, come in contact with each other.
Thank you.
All right, there it is. He made the little, it's gone now because Elon Musk took it over and now calls it X. But the little bird.
That one?
On Twitter. The little birdie.
That one?
Yeah, he made that.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know what else he does in life, but he got real estate in the Bay Area because he made the little thingamabob.
Yeah, wow.
I want to know who did the ding, 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 ding. Who did that? I'd love to know.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My guess would be John Tesh. He seems to have his hands in all that stuff,
right?
It does seem very Tesh-y,
like something that he would do. Trey Hendrickson, defensive end, Cincinnati Bengals, three-time Pro Bowler, has requested a trade. The defensive end is due to make $15 million this season. He would like some long-term security and is in search of more than Cincinnati is willing to offer. You know, the Bengals are an interesting sort of case study because they got all these dudes. Fantasy football loves them some Bengals. And there is a little bit of a low-key comp between the Bengals and the 49ers. It's a team that feels like it's in a window. It's a team that went to the Super Bowl and lost, but has not been able to get over the top. And now, it's time to pay the piper. Look at who they're dealing with. All at once. Ja'Marr Chase, option picked up. Joe Burrow, $55 million. T. Higgins, we're going to franchise tag you. Trey Hendrickson's like, where's mine?
Right.
Well, we can't give it to you. Well, then trade me. This is what happens. And the 49ers are just like, they're just at the start of the maze that you have to go through. And I don't know if the Bengals will placate Hendrickson. I don't know if they'll deal him or if he'll sit out or whatever is going to happen next. But, yeah, you end up with disgruntled people in your company. And Brandon Ayuk is one of them right now.
Yeah.
And you have to start picking and choosing and moving deck chairs around. And so that's why we're sort of asking the question that we're asking today, because it's very likely that it's going to come down to something like this. And that is, you either trade Brandon Ayuk, or you prepare to move on from Debo Samuel next year, or you prepare to move on from George Kittle next year, or you mess around with Purdy's deal. Now, there's other things that you can do. Trent Williams has a big number. Kyle Juszczyk less so. Christian McCaffrey has a big number.
Juszczyk just did one of those rework deals.
He's also a fullback, so that's not enough money. I'd argue
you could move on from him. Less, but
yeah, but you move on from him, and it doesn't clear enough to do what
it's
you
like
need to do.
It's like throwing Moses Moody in a trade.
Yeah.
It's
an
add-on piece.
So, we get it. You got to look at the money and sort of the who you want to keep, but then you also got to look at the ramifications for letting said player go. And I do think that's the only thing in favor of the idea of a Brandon trade. The only thing that's in favor of a Brandon trade is that there's not some huge cash, there's not some huge dead cap number that you're dealing with, which you might be dealing with some of these other players, and you could get a premium return. And I understand that. But I look at it from the opposite view. Because I've heard so many people say this. Shasky said it this morning. You've said it a few times.
Yeah.
Do the Ayuk thing, because you can get something for him. And I'm like, why do you think you can get something for him?
Because he's a good little player.
Because he's super desirable right now. So I look at that as, yes, they'll give you something for him, because he's really good and he's really young. So keep him. Keep him.
Yeah.
This is football. Players like Deebo Samuel, to me, are terrifying to watch play because they do not stay healthy. He has not stayed healthy, and he will not stay healthy going forward. And if so, if you're going to mess around with one of those numbers, that's the guy I'm going to mess around with.
If the number is too rich for your blood, though, then you go ahead and you figure out something else to do. And that's a choice that you have to make. And, you paid Bosa a boatload, and then you restructured George and you restructured Trent. And now if you go out there and you pay Brandon Ayuk as much as he is allegedly commanding or asking for, then you're in a spot where, you're right, next offseason, hard choices will have to be made. And it does feel like if you did that, you'd be putting all your eggs in the basket of this upcoming year, saying that it is Super Bowl or bust it up. Not Super Bowl or bust, like this whole thing falls apart, Super Bowl or someone's going to have to go, and that's a choice that is going to have to be made either now or then. And if you make it now, you at least get something back. If you do what you're suggesting, you sign Brandon, you get to the offseason, and win or lose the Super Bowl, doesn't really matter, but you're going to have to cut Deebo Samuel, and you get no compensation at that point.
Right, but you have Brandon Ayuk and another year of Deebo still. There's no way to lose that. This portion of the argument is an absolute win for the sign Brandon club, which is if you would like to be at your absolute best next year, that's the way to play it. That's the way to play it. And it doesn't mean Super Bowl or bust.
You can't say that. Because
of course I can.
You can get an additional draft pick and get an additional player to help you this year that makes your team better.
There is absolutely.
You're just looking at the one position.
Yes.
And David Lombardi weighed in yesterday on what you could do to get better with or without Brandon Ayuk.
Right, and then had no answer for what you would do with Ayuk. He was talking about strengthening another portion of the offense, which, by the way, nothing prevents you from doing that anyway, even if you sign Brandon Ayuk. But there is no answer, literally no answer, for the 49ers wide receiver one job.
Yeah, you draft a guy who takes that job.
I mean, we did this yesterday. We did this yesterday.
And we went through all the rookies who had big years.
A bunch of rookies had big years last year. Almost none of them did starting right away. None of them had 1,300-plus yards. None of them
Puka Nacua set the rookie record for receptions.
Right.
And he was their one.
First of all, he was not drafted to be their one.
Well, he turned out to be their
because Cooper Kupp got hurt.
Yes.
Right. So, and he was a sixth-round draft pick. So that's a completely different.
It doesn't matter when you take them if they're good.
Of course it does. That's a scenario.
The Brock Purdy story tells us that.
Exactly. And everyone has called that luck. So I'm going to say the same thing about Puka Nacua. If they thought he was going to be that good, they'd have taken him in the first round.
They had a six-round grade on him, Mark. I like the pick.
Yeah.
I remember saying that.
Me too. I made a lot of money on Puka Nacua, okay? So I got nothing against the guy.
Last time I do that fantasy league.
But you're sitting here telling me, that story's repeatable. And it's not. That's, an unbelievable story. Brock Purdy, Puka Nacua. That never happens.
It literally just happened twice.
Right. So, you can't just go repeat that. That can't be your plan. Nobody is sitting around in their war room right now going, all right, Here's your plan for tomorrow. Let's go out there. Let's mess Thursday up. Friday, not that interested. But on Saturday, we're going to find a diamond in the rough. He's going to be amazeballs right away. And we're gonna show up the league. You can't go out. That's not a plan.
Well, the plan is to trade Brandon Ayuk and get draft compensation and use one of those picks on a wide receiver like Adonai Mitchell out of Texas. Ran a 4.34 at the combine.
All right, here's the bet I'll make.
He's got size, he's got speed, and he can beat the press.
Here's the bet I'll make.
Talk to me.
There's absolutely no rookie receiver this year who will match the numbers that Brandon put up last year. Period. I'll make
numbers?
That bet right now.
Catches, yards, touchdowns?
Yards,
what are we talking about?
Yards, whatever.
You might try and get me with one of these advanced analytics.
No, I'm not going to go advanced analytics on you. I'm going to tell you that the production that came from Brandon Ayuk will not be matched by any rookie this year. And it's crazy to me. You're going to give me examples of like 1, 2, 3, or 4.
Marvin Harrison Jr. He's not going to go for 1,300 yards?
Like I could sit here and give you a bucket that is like 95% of the league of all the rookie receivers who don't do that in their first year. And you're going to give me guys who ended up being good, but literally next to none of them were good starting week one. Justin Jefferson, stop. I freaking dropped the guy off of a fantasy league in week 8 because he wasn't doing that much. You could tell he was going to be good. I'm like, well, I'm not here for going to be good. We're playing this league right now. So I don't want to hear about their numbers at the end of the year. You gave me Rashee Rice yesterday. It took him half a year to even flirt with being the Chiefs' number one receiver.
Puka Nacua went 10 for 119 in the opener.
Already addressed. Sixth rounder, not someone you were planning to have good, and the number one got hurt.
But the guy went off. You're saying that rookies can't come in and do well in week one, and I'm giving you an example of a guy who did just that.
Great. Okay, so we're going to play that game. You're going to get, when I say that's not something you can plan on, you don't get to give me one example in the history of life. Like, we can all do that.
15 for 147 in week two.
There was probably a cow that had two heads once upon a time, but I ain't planning for the next cow to come out with two heads.
You know, there's humans that sometimes have two heads.
Yes, there are.
Yeah.
Some of them actually have two bodies and they're conjoined.
Right. Yeah, it's conjoined
stuff.
Twins.
Crazy stuff happens.
You're not looking for a conjoined twin.
Yes, you are.
It's not that much of a miracle.
You don't know that.
For somebody to come in and get 75 grabs.
I mean,
find his way to 1,300 yards, ho-hum.
I'm literally triggered by this idea that you could just go find Ayuk tomorrow night.
I got a list from Mike Silver of 8 guys who you could plug and or play. I don't find it to be.
I remember sitting with buddies. I was sitting with a buddy at a youth sports game, and we pulled out the phone, and the Niners had just played a preseason game. And you'll all remember the play I'm about to tell you about. You're all going to remember. Remember when Trey Lance hit Danny Gray down the left sideline?
Oh, yeah, I can see it now.
There's a go route. Oh, it was a preseason game.
Two words, Mark, arm talent.
And a lot of you Niner fans, you looked at that play, and there might have been something inappropriate happening to your body. At minimum, there were tingles.
Awesome blood flow.
You thought.
Possibly.
Oh, you're like, oh, the next era of 49er football is here. Bust. Bust. I can't sit here and tell you with 100% certainty that there's no such thing as a good wide receiver rookie. But Dibs, acknowledge that you're talking about Johnny Cueto getting a hit. You're talking about something that is
not that rare.
Wildly, absolutely that rare.
If you scout correctly, and I think the Niners have done a good job of late, and if you identify talent, you could find a guy who can come in and contribute and be good. He doesn't have to be amazeballs Puka Nacua.
Yes, he does.
Rashee Rice scored a touchdown in week one.
Yes, he does.
He went 5 for 59 in week 3.
The 49ers need a number one wide receiver. They need one. Brock Purdy needs one.
They have a whole host of guys that they just recently drafted that can take the spot in the meantime while... Let me get my list
here.
Pearsall is ready to go.
You're literally hitting me with, it's okay, trade Ayuk, let's go Ronnie Bell. You're literally...
Or Danny Gray.
You're giving me that opinion?
You've got Juwan Jennings. You've got Chris Conley.
Juwan Jennings.
You got Trent Taylor
Juwan
back finally.
Juwan Jennings is going to need a golf cart to get how far down the field Brandon can get. Like, he's a phenomenal player for what he does. He don't do that.
Well, then what do we do in drafting wide receivers if we're not going to give a kid a chance? That's all I'm saying, Mark. All I am saying is give these kids a damn chance. It's risky.
I don't.
But you've got depth at wide receiver.
I don't want to give kids a chance. I want to win a Super Bowl. You are not going to sit here and do this today.
I like
today.
Xavier Leggett or Leggett. It's unconfirmed, the pronunciation.
You may not.
He's got some upside.
Ronnie Bell.
And Danny Gray.
What are we
doing? It's camp battle, Mark. It's camp battle for the wide receiver one.
The league is salivating. It's salivation sensation. They are salivating over these players.
Cha-ching!
The Eagles have paid two of them. The Seahawks broke off DK. The Dolphins gave Tyreek 30. People lost their minds about the deal, and the Lions just surpassed it today for Amon-Ra St. Brown, who, by the way, Lucas
Who's was better than Ayuk.
Who was drafted. Yes, he is. Drafted in the what? What round? Amon-Ra will always list all the receivers who went ahead of him. There's another one.
Fourth round.
Best receiver in the draft. Yet all these expert NFL evaluators had 17 guys in front of him. I'm not playing this game. I don't understand why you do it. I know what it sounds like. Willard thinks Brandon Ayuk is Jerry Rice. No, I think he's Brandon Ayuk.
Yeah.
And you don't know what any of these other people are.
Well, then you know what, Mark? Just skip the draft.
No,
just skip the whole damn thing.
That's of course not what I'm saying. But you guys would like to play chicken at the. You want to be the Giants' bullpen catcher with the Niners' number one wide receiver position. Just close your eyes, let
the ball
huck a ball at you, and let's hope you catch it. Let's hope. I'm sure it'll be fine. What could go wrong?
Exactly. I mean, what could go wrong?
I mean, you
look at a list of wide receivers who are coming out in the draft, and a lot of these guys have great pedigree, and you'll be able to save some money and give a guy a look. And if it doesn't work, you've already got six other receivers on your team.
You're having a
good
full
pop them in there.
You're having a full Mavs in five show today. I can see it behind your eyes.
Nah, you're Mavs in five. Are you talking about Steiny?
You are so Mavs in five right now. It's unbelievable. You do not believe what you're telling me.
I'm not just going to sit here and do sit on my hands radio with the draft coming up here in 24, 25 and change hours.
Oh my God.
Take a swing. You're not going to pay Brandon Ayuk what he wants anyway, so let's just have this drag out all summer because he wants more money than you're going to want to pay him. Justin Jefferson is going to jack the market. CeeDee Lamb's going to jack the market. Brandon Ayuk's going to sit here and go, you know what? I want 75 guaranteed
now. Didn't you just get a new deal last year?
That's none of your business.
No,
I didn't reset the market.
It is my business.
You're my partner.
Yeah, exactly.
That was in September, yeah.
Do you think Odyssey wanted to pay you every dollar that they're paying you?
Based on the way that went, probably. I'll tell you what I didn't do.
Nobody wants to pay anybody anything.
They didn't shop me like they were going to trade me because I was not trying to come in and be all Brandon Ayuk with it.
Not tradable.
It was very reasonable.
Yeah.
Brandon Ayuk is tradable. And if the right compensation comes in, if you get a high second, and you can maybe get your hooks into Brian Thomas Jr.
pulls a piece of paper
That's
up
great.
To read
this is my
who
bit.
You want.
And if you give me I like a Donnie Mitchell.
Yeah, I know you do.
He flashes foot quickness needed to beat the NFL press.
Dibs, look at me. Malachi Corley, big thighs. Big thighs, Western Kentucky.
That was your guy from yesterday.
Yeah, that's your Debo replacement next year. Unless it doesn't work out. Then you got time to figure out something else.
You might not even have to trade up to get my guy, Troy Franklin.
Oh, he's
31st
good.
Overall.
I like that.
Oh, yeah.
Of course he is.
Oh,
he doesn't talk about anything.
He made Bo Nix. Mm-hmm.
When Grandy and Sterling and E-Dog are in here tomorrow doing the draft, Grandy's only going to talk when Ducks get picked.
So funny.
Talking about how centers are the biggest hit rate.
Yeah.
Jackson Powers Johnson, center out of Oregon. He's going to be the star of the draft. Book it.
What's his grade? When's he going to go?
Probably in the teens.
In the teens. Okay.
Yeah. Calling an offensive lineman the star of the draft.
That's how good he is.
Penei Sewell got a new deal today.
If we can just
Lions
circle back
people.
To your cockamamie stat that you retweeted from Adam Schefter. Trey Hendrickson, who he wants to be traded.
Yes.
He got a second contract. but not from his own team. So is he considered a miss because he's a three-time Pro Bowler?
Of course not. We already went over that.
But I'm ticking off example after example why that stat is meaningless.
No, you're ticking off outlier after outlier.
You're weaponizing it against my wide receivers.
I mean, you're sitting here, and how many times in a row are you going to say Rashee Rice, which A, is not a good example of what I'm talking about, and B, is an outlier. They're outliers. That draft you just went through, you're like, okay, let's go through it. Who are the wide receivers? Okay, number one, Henry Ruggs. He's in jail. Sweet. Next, Jerry Jeudy. He just got absolutely thrown out the door in Denver. Those are your first two. Freaking SEC, Alabama, can't miss, physical freak, wide receivers. Let's get them. What do you got? Dumped in jail. I just gave you these numbers. The flaw in the number is there, but it doesn't debunk the entire list. Wide receiver in the first round is the hardest thing to evaluate of any position in the league.
That's why you don't take one in the first round. And you're using number 31 on Granny's quaint little duck. You're going to get an offensive lineman that you can plug in either now or in the immediate future.
Maybe.
Because you need help on the right side of your offensive
line. Maybe they might trade
down. Maybe you're going to get a corner.
They've only got 22 guys that got a first-round grade. And if they're all gone, maybe they'll just leave.
How many of those guys are wide receivers, I would wonder? Or do they not look at wide receivers because they've got their two guys?
They look at everybody.
Exactly.
They have to be ready. They're not doing their job if they're not ready.
And if they're sitting there at 31.
How many are first-round grades? Probably at least three.
Three or four.
Probably more.
And if you're sitting there at 31 and one of your guys is available, then you pick up the phone and you say, you know what?
Those dudes aren't going to be available.
They might be
available. Roma Dunze is not going to be available at number 31.
Right, but they may have a guy further down the draft who they gave a first-round grade to.
That's not even my point. My point is that we can sit there and give them a first-round grade, and they might, high good chance, be wrong.
Right. My point is you don't need to use first-round draft capital on a wide receiver to replace Brandon Ayuk. You just draft a guy who's good.
Of course you can do that, but you're not going to know that. And most guys, if not almost all, fine, Puka Nacua. Outside of that, there's a reason he broke every record. Why did he break every record?
Because he was really good.
Because nobody does that. Nobody does what he did. Like, literally nobody does that. It's never happened in the history of the league, and you want the Niners to just walk out there this weekend and replicate it. No problem. Just go do something that's never been done before.
Jordan Addison came in last year and immediately was good.
He's fine. He's not immediately good.
Tank Dell had a very good rookie year.
He did.
Listed as Nathaniel here, and that confused me momentarily, I'll be honest.
He's also got a torn ACL.
Third rounder, but he had a great year until the old ACL gave out.
So, okay.
As a rookie.
Did an okay year, yeah.
I mean,
I didn't say they're not allowed to play, but you can't count on them to be WR1. By the way, the two guys you just mentioned, neither of them were ones. Jordan Addison was playing next to Justin Jefferson until he got hurt, and Houston's number one is named Nico Collins. You're asking someone to come in and replicate your top target.
For a team that passes the ball the fewest amount of times in the National Football League.
Yet still very much needs to pass it.
Yes, yeah, some.
Like, very, very, very
they
much
They ran
needs
it
to
more
pass
than
it.
They passed it, one of three teams to do that last year, so
barely,
it's not.
Barely, what, 52% of the time?
It's something like that.
Yeah.
But, you know, facts are facts. I hate to stand behind the stats all the time.
Even though they don't tell the story. That's what I'm into.
Well, the story is they're a run-first team.
And the story is that in today's NFL, you better have a freaking good wide receiver. That's why everyone's paying $30 million for it.
Or have an elite tight end and a running back who can catch it.
We're all in love with our running back, right? The league thinks he's half as good as a great wide receiver.
Well, he is half a wide receiver, at least.
Well, why
as much as he gets thrown
why to. Why is he only getting $16 million?
That's a pre-existing deal. He's not a wide receiver.
Nobody's going by it.
Right.
Running backs just get cut. It's like, yeah, see ya. Why? Because you're a lot more replaceable.
Man, you're a lot more likely to get hurt. And he's got an injury history.
You know who's more likely to get hurt?
Don't say it.
Deebo Samuel.
Oh, I can't believe you just put that on him. That's bad juju.
It's not likely. It's just a historical fact.
Juju also had a good rookie year.
He was all right.
I'll have to look it up.
But yeah, he was like
material over here.
Three.
Yeah. He's no...
Okay.
There's no Ricky Pearsall.
All right, let's take some calls on this. We will. Mickey, you'll be first up. 888-957-9570. Presented by Fremont Bank. Full service banking. No compromises. Willing and dibs.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
I got a nugget for you.
Okay.
We'll go to the phones in a second, but the Amon-Ra St. Brown details.
I like details.
So, it's a lot of fluff money.
Always is.
4 years, 120 mil, and so they said 77 guaranteed, correct?
Yep.
Okay. So, 4 years and 120 million. But, as Bill Barnwell writes, this ends up being about 63.4 million over the first 3 years.
Okay.
So
63.4 over 3 is 21.
In other words, and I got to dive deeper into this, but if that's true, 63.4 over 3 years, that means that the fourth year is worth $1 billion.
56.6 is what it actually is. So much like Tyreek,
exactly.
They're going to get to that fourth year and they're going to, well,
so,
you know.
When you look at that deal and go, oh, Amon-Ra and Tyreek are now next to one another, the highest paid receivers in the game. He didn't even get what Michael Pittman got. He didn't even get what Calvin Ridley got. Okay? Amon-Ra got an extension that puts him behind Tyreek Hill, Cooper Kupp, Michael Pittman, Calvin Ridley, and Davante Adams.
In average annual value.
That's right. The deal has, and this is from Pro Football Talk, and thank you Nick Wagner and Bill Barnwell and everyone on Twitter who's breaking this down. The deal has an annual value of $24.675 million, not 30, $24.67, removing the puffed up final year, the average value of the now five-year deal from signing, because you got to include the year coming up, is $21.84 million. That's what Amon-Ra got. And you can now translate that however you want to Brandon Ayuk, but Amon-Ra St. Brown is ahead of Brandon Ayuk in the wide receiver pecking order, I would argue.
Yeah. It's close, but they're...
Amon-Ra, he has put up consistently more numbers.
Another stalwart of your fantasy team, so I know you know him very well.
It's a good draft.
It was a great draft.
Anyway, those two receivers together, man. That was pretty good stuff. Anyway, so if that's what Amon-Ra got, and it falls in you know, right behind Pittman and Ridley, you might actually be looking at Brandon Ayuk getting above that. However, what does that really mean? You know, TJ Houshmandzadeh said 27.
Yeah.
But that's a fluff year involved type number because Amon-Ra St. Brown got 30.
Right.
But he actually didn't even get 22. So, like, what is Brandon actually asking? And if you do get past, let's say it is 27 in fluff stuff, but when you boil it all the way down, it's down in the low 20s. It's 23 per year. Like, I don't know. Does that help people? Does that help people feel better about it? I don't even know why the numbers matter to everybody. Who cares? I don't care what the hell he gets. I just want him on the team.
Right.
And I want it to not block them from being able to do the other stuff that they would like to do.
That's, I think, why it matters to people.
Well, of course.
Is the idea that it might block them from doing the things that other people want them to do.
But you're going to lose somebody. You're going to lose somebody, and that person might be Brandon. You know? I vote for one of the other guys.
Yeah, and it might be Brandon tomorrow, and it might be Brandon in 2 or 3 years when, if it is a fluff contract like you just detailed with Amon-Ra St. Brown, and that fourth year is basically $56 million, like Tyreek Hill's fourth year is a monster number that he'll never see, because if they like the player at that point, they tear it up and you give him a new deal and you restructure it to where he gets more money up front, more guaranteed money, and then you can just kind of recycle the same
right.
cycle of a contract. And, you know, if it's Brandon Ayuk, the Niners have done a great job of signing guys to contracts and then restructuring it when the time is right and adding on voidable years on the back, but giving them more guaranteed money at the beginning.
888-957-9570. How about Mickey in Pacifica with Willie and Dibby? Hi, Mickey. What's up?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
Hey there. So in this Ayuk discussion, thank you, Willie, for pointing out that, like you said, only about 25% of the first round wideouts make it. You know, it's the biggest crapshoot there is in the NFL, in the draft. And the thing that nobody's talking about as far as if the Niners do go ahead and trade Ayuk is his intangibles beyond the receptions and the yardage and everything, specifically his blocking. None of these college players coming out are going to be blocking like Ayuk does. Like, I've been reading all the so-called experts who know this, and several of them have said that, you know, Harrison isn't going to be a pro-style blocker. He's going to need to learn that. They all need to learn that in the pro NFL game. Even Ayuk, look, he had to spend a year in Shanahan's doghouse to learn to get straight and get his head in the game and to learn to be a complete player and to get that blocking and so forth. So, you know, if we trade him now, it's like we're starting over. We're hitting the reset button for pretty much on our Super Bowl window if we do. You know, it's not an all-in move. It's for the future because that guy, I don't care who he is, even if he is the second coming of Puka Nacua, he's not going to come right in and be a starter from day one. That's just not going to happen. You know, that's why we've got to keep Ayuk no matter what. And really, you know, I've got an idea of somebody else that we can trade. You're going to think I'm crazy. You know, probably going to hang up on me, but, you know, I'll tell you, you know, I don't want to trade, you know, I call them the Fantastic Four on offense. Ayuk, Debo, Kittle, and McCaffrey. I want to keep those four guys together as long as I possibly can. Now, of course, with the salary cap, that's going to be real tricky and probably impossible. But if we trade someone else and keep those guys, another marquee high-end guy who's got trade value,
bring
maybe
it home.
We can pull it off.
Let's go. Who is it, Mickey?
We've only got one other guy
who is
on
it?
Our roster now. Who's that guy?
Who is it?
All right.
Say okay. it!
So, you know...
No, Mickey, you have to say it. Like, this is a show and we have to leave. You're right. We are going to hang up on you at some point. And it might be before you pay it off. You got to pay it off, Mickey! Yeah.
Right. Okay, well, you look on the defensive side of the ball. You know, you can't afford to have a top-flight offense and a top-flight defense in the game anymore. You just can't.
Mickey, I love you so much, but if you don't say a name with the next two words out of your mouth, I'm going to...
He's going to say Nick Bosa, and then we're going to run him.
Okay.
Yeah. Nick Bosa. Yes, okay. Nick Bosa.
Run this guy. Run this guy.
No, but I like me.
I like Mickey.
Mickey made some great points before he made a bad one.
And, I mean, I'm all for the buildup.
He did.
And I'm all for delayed gratification, but you got to pay it off, Mickey. Mickey, you're so fine. And that call kind of blew my mind. Hey, Mickey.
You're so fine. You hurt my mind. Hey, Mickey.
We're not trading Nick Bosa. Maybe we'll take a team that'll take Steph Curry, too, while we're at it. I mean, you're not trading Nick Bosa.
Well, no. And obviously...
I love you, Mickey.
Yeah, no. Well, Mickey, if you had stopped three quarters of the way through the call... I'd have given you a standing ovation. You're gonna rack that guy.
Totally.
Yeah, because he actually made some really good points. If you want to get to the circumstances of now with the 49ers, it points even more in the direction of keep Brandon Ayuk. From the fact that you are a Super Bowl competitor, if not the Super Bowl favorite, to the fact that it's an intricate offense that's difficult to learn. To the fact that Kyle Shanahan demands downfield blocking. These are the things that we don't see and talk about. When you go, oh, Puka Nacua, yeah, good numbers. But what about all the other stuff? The fit, the blocking, all of the things. Kyle Shanahan's system, the Super Bowl window. I'm just, this is me now. You can disagree. I'm not willing to mess with any of that. I'm just not right now.
Yeah, sometimes you got to roll the dice to win big. And, you know, you could sit there and just pay him whatever he wants to be paid, and then you find yourself in cap hell next year.
Not whatever he wants to be paid, but find an agreement. It's there. There's another way to save money. I'm doing it with a different player. 888-957-9570. FP stands for final pitch. The Giants have lost. That's next on Willie and Dibby.
Deal. That's the ball game. So here's one way to look at things. Giants take 2 out of 3.
Now, back to Willard and Dibs on 95.7 The Game.
Yeah, I'm with you, Kipe. This is a big old just like, come on. The Giants are stop starters. That's who they've been so far. Like, everything's fine, long way to go, but it's just like that, like they're a used car, and you're just not sure if they're going to start.
Yeah.
And every time it feels like you're going to get rolling, we turn around and we go back home.
Is that the fuel pump or was that the radiator? Something broke.
Willard and Dibbs, final pitch is our nickname for FP. FP Santangelo, Blake Snell on the hill. And a chance to sweep. I woke up today thinking time to boogie. And FP, it was not time to boogie.
What's up, fellas? First of all, thanks for having me on.
Hey, brother.
Second of all, this is Michael Myers reporting live from the ballpark after that music you just played for my intro.
Yeah. Uh-huh. A little Halloween-esque. But this Giants team has been a little bit of a horror show.
Well, I wouldn't go that far. They just took 2 out of 3 from a pretty good ball club. And today was the second inning. You guys probably didn't get to see it. You're on the air. You're doing your thing. But they had bases loaded, nobody out in the second inning. And when you win the first two games of a series, I always thought scoring first in that game to sweep or that third game of the series or whether it's a fourth game of the series you're going to sweep is huge because you've won two games. And no matter who you're playing, you get them on their heels and you go, oh, here we go again. They're on the board. It's 2-0. It's 3-0. And now as an opponent there, you start thinking they're about to sweep us. And then you start pressing, and you put the pressure on them right away. And you kind of break their will to compete if you can go that far when you win the first two games of the series. But as soon as, there was, I think, Tyro Estrada popped up, and then there was another pop-up by Tyler Fitzgerald, and Nick Ahmed made it out. And so they wiggle out of a bases loaded, nobody out jam, and it's in a scoreless game. Now the momentum immediately goes to the Mets. Like, we got out of that. The dugout has life. And after, a day game after night game, and the Mets have scored, two runs in the whole series, to get out of that jam, I felt like gave them life. And then it just got sloppy and weird after that. And it was one of those day baseball games that are tough to watch sometimes because a lot of times teams come out with not a lot of energy, or it appears.
Yeah, and maybe the energy comes from the fact that you had to go with an opener. Walker goes one inning, and then Jelly and Roop don't get it done. Can you look at this team and see that there's a bullpen problem, or is it only a bullpen problem when they get behind because their mop-up guys have not really been able to mop up?
Yeah, I just think it's too early to start throwing labels around. And back to Mark's point, how however Mark felt this morning, imagine the clubhouse. You're like getting in your car. You're thinking of sweep. You got your two-time Cy Young Award winner on the mound who has not clicked yet. I mean, it's obvious, right? And then you get word that he's strained or he's not pitching today and he's on the IL. So that was probably a buzzkill for those guys in the clubhouse immediately today when they got to the ballpark, kind of like it was for us fans. So, yeah, guys were thrust into roles. I think Ryan Walker has been doing a really nice job, and he's leading the team in appearances right now. And then Sean Gelly had a tough day. I mean, that was his first outing. I thought the pitch to Lindor, you guys probably didn't see, it was a slider down and in, and Lindor just dropped the barrel on it. And, you know, once the Giants didn't score, the Mets jumped out to a 3-0 lead to simplify the whole game. In those situations as a player, you're just like, man, we had our chance and now we got to fight. But we've already run 1-2, and 2 out of 3 is good. And also, just another point, I think it's important as a team to play hard into an off day. Because a lot of times you get in that trap where you take the day off before the off day mentally because you have an off day on Thursday. And the trick is to try to get your team to play as hard as they possibly can the day before the off day, because now you can rest on Thursday. But then there's the day game after the night game. We got an off day Thursday. And maybe you mentally take a break on Wednesday because you know you have an off day Thursday.
You mentioned Snell. What's your concern level?
He's always been a slow starter. Did he have like a 4 right around the All-Star break last year? And, I definitely talked to him a few times and asked him what's going on and how he's feeling. And, it's new scouting reports. It's new verbiage. It's a new city. It's a new town. He lives on the other side of the bay negotiating the bridge. He talked about a lot of things in the adjustment period that goes to being with a new team. He had a lot of things going on when we discussed, how he's feeling as a Giant. So, I'm concerned about the injury more than the 12 ERA after 3 starts and being 0-3 or what it is. I don't know how that affects a pitcher, but anytime I've had a lat or an oblique or anything like that, those turn into a month. And then you have to be careful because they said it's a mild strain, so that's good news. But like if you keep pushing that mild strain becomes a big time strain in the abductor thing, and who knows where that goes and how long you're out. So I think they kind of got ahead of that.
FP, help me out with something. You talk to him, and one of the reasons he's having a hard time is because he's got to go over the Bay Bridge? I'm kidding, but what'd he say? Like, what? And what's he doing over there? He made $30 million.
Just, yeah, I should be in the Millennium Towers in the penthouse.
Well, be where you want to be. Like,
yeah. He should have a pool table that he can roll the cue ball across the floor because it's tilted and hit the other side of the plate.
Right.
And live in the Millennium Towers and the Leaning Tower Pizza over there. No, it's just, I guess my point in saying that is there's an adjustment period that goes with being with a new team, getting to the ballpark. I know you guys are probably rolling your eyes going, well, he makes this much and he should drive into the ballpark? What the hell? But it is. It's all part of the routine. And ball players are all about the routine. And once you slide into that routine, you get into that routine, things become normal. And that routine takes a while sometimes. And I don't know, that whole thing that spring training's been there for 140 years for a reason thing, I mean, that's a big thing. And spring training is for the pitchers. We used to be eye roll all the time because we're like, we're ready to go. We're ready to break camp. But because Joe has to get to 100 pitch mark, we're here for 2 more weeks when we're ready to play. So spring training is all for the pitchers. And when you miss that, you miss that. These are the best hitters in the world. No matter if you're playing the Washington Nationals or you're playing the Los Angeles Dodgers, these are major league hitters. So the reason you ramp up, the reason you start at 20 pitches to 50 pitches to 75 to 100, whatever it is to get ready for that first start of the year. And if you're throwing on the side or you're simulating stuff, it's still not Scottsdale. It's still not getting to know your teammates. It's still not, ramping up for a major league start in a major league ballpark against major league hitters. So, I don't know. He's probably playing uphill a little bit. Now this injury is concerning because now he's really going to be playing uphill
right
when he gets back from that.
You have to re-ramp up, so to speak. Hey, Tyro left the game with what the Giants are calling hamstring tightness. What did you see and what have you heard as it regards Tyro's availability going forward?
I have no idea. I'm not a doctor. He's out of the game. He came out of the game. There was no, I mean, you guys didn't see it. He just, all of a sudden, Tyler Fitzgerald was playing second and Jung Hoo Lee was in center field. And then they announced after the game that he left with hamstring tightness. So it's not one of those things where you went, oh, no, and you saw it. It just, he left the game.
What do ball players do when they've got a day off in the middle of a homestand? Talk to me, man. What's happening now?
It depends who you are. Some go to church. Some go to church
tomorrow. It's Thursday.
I don't know. Some guys go to Bible study. Some guys go to the bar. Some guys go golfing. Some guys catch up with their family and just do nothing. Some guys come to the ballpark to get treatment. Some guys are studying video of the Pittsburgh Pirates. I doubt it. But some guys might be. I don't know. It's everybody does a different thing. I think it's more about just sleeping in and relaxing and enjoying your wife and your kids and doing absolutely nothing. But I'm sure like some of the guys that are single have probably got a golf match planned somewhere tomorrow, and they're going to go out and enjoy the off day. Even though the good weather is gone, it's turned into winter again. I'm sure they'll find something to do.
Who's been the hitter this year that's impressed you the most so far, FP, through 25 or so games?
Jung-Hoo Lee's the Giants' best player right now.
Yeah, He is.
And everybody that thought that, oh, it's a Korean League and he can't hit a fastball. And he's their best player. He's running clean routes in center field. He's getting great jumps. He's going A to B, which I call like there's no zigzag. There's no like hanging a left turn and making misjudging things. He's ready for the baseball in center. On the last road trip, I was shocked at how strong he is, strong his arm is, excuse me, seeing him in person. He's got a cannon. I asked his interpreter the other day on the bench, I go, how do you say cannon in Korean? And Jung-Hoo was right there, and they all started laughing. I'm like, cannon, and I was showing him his arm. I forget the word, though, but I knew it for a couple minutes.
I'll look it up while you're talking.
What cannon is in Korean? But like, just his at-bats, he's putting the ball. Isn't it beautiful? This is where I sound old. Isn't it beautiful to watch a guy battle with two strikes and to foul off pitches and then to put the ball in play, maybe just flip one out there over shortstop and get a hit? And who cares if he grounds out the shortstop because maybe the shortstop boots it, so you're giving yourself a chance to get on base and not just taking these big, huge 3-0 hacks and striking out, with two strikes. He's fighting. He's battling. He's engaged in every at-bat. He's not giving one pitch away. There's certain times as a hitter where you just go up there and, yeah, you're a little bit brain dead. You got two hits already. And, you know, you're not focused as you should be. He's locked in every single pitch. So whether his jumps at first is something that he's going to work on. He's gotten thrown out a couple times stealing, but he's running hard to first base every single time, which I don't know when that became a thing. But now to see somebody run hard to first base is pretty cool. And he's there, in my mind, in my opinion, in the early part of the season, I think Jung-Hoo Lee's their best player.
Daepo. Is that what they said? Daepo.
No, Chungyang.
No, Daepo.
No.
That's not a word.
I think it was. I think it was Daepo.
Daepo.
I'm pretty sure that
what
was
are you
it.
Doing, yeah. Lucas? What are you, like, this isn't hard. You just put it into Google. Daepo.
He's thinking of the word canon, C-A-N-O-N, Lucas, as in like a collection of books. You're the wrong cannon.
There's not two cannons. Are you
like,
kidding me?
Or like the camera. Hey, yeah, how'd you spell cannon, Lucas?
Unimportant.
He spelled it with one N.
C-A-N-O-N.
I mean, like,
he's out of the bad segment.
Rookie mistake.
FP, you...
No, that's canyon, Lucas.
You come in here for this show. Like, is it unbelievable what we deal with or what? It's unbelievable.
It's super remedial all of a sudden. But yes, it's not Diane Cannon on the sidelines at a Lakers game.
Exactly.
Daepo.
Or Cannon Barry, Rick Barry's youngest son.
Daepo.
Thank you.
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ-FM in HD1 San Francisco. Always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. Upgrade your savings. Dividend, open a First NorCal first class money market today. Hey, FP. Brandon Ayuk, what do you think?
They're not trading him. They're not trading him, are they? For a second round pick? No.
I hope not.
I like Brandon a lot, and us Niner fans, we can't trade him.
We.
No. He runs the cleanest routes. He runs the best routes on this team. He's a budding superstar. He's like Kuminga, but like ahead of Kuminga.
He's and the Jung-Hoo Lee of the Niners. He runs those clean routes. He goes A to B.
He does, and he has a cannon. He does. You
Daepo.
Just never see him throw because he catches the ball.
He's got a Daepo. That's exactly right.
What do you guys think? What is your take on? I mean, you don't want to. You don't want to trade this
I'm,
guy.
Like, I'm a hard no. I'm a hard no of trading Brandon Ayuk, and that's with full awareness that they may have to move off of someone next year that's uncomfortable, such as Deebo Samuel. But that's the route that I would go.
100%. And Michael Silver, who I love and I think does an awesome job, got everybody all fired up today. And I was all worried now. I woke up and now I have anxiety about Brandon Ayuk getting traded.
No, but
you should be worried because he's on the move.
And, I think he's right. I think Mike wrote is right, don't you guys?
Yeah, I do too. I do too, but it just got me worried, and I don't like that.
Well, they'd be foolish if they didn't listen to good offers. And if they get a second and a third, you pull the trigger. He's asking for too much money.
Yeah, but just like, it's not our money. That's what I always say. Like, when I first got back in San Francisco, they can't pay Jimmy G. What are you talking about? I'm like, why are they getting rid of Jimmy G? He's gone to the NFC Championship. He's gone to the Super Bowl. He's on field six throwing footballs into garbage cans with no friends. And they're just, they can't pay him. And then all of a sudden, they paid him. And he did a great job. I'm not worried about that. Pay Brandon Ayuk. I think he's a superstar.
They're going to pay Brock Purdy, too, next year. And he does not really have a depot.
He does not have a depot.
No, he does not have a depot.
He's been injured. It's been operated on. And it's just kind of, I don't know what a toy cannon is.
Yeah, he's got like a garden hose.
I talked to a individual that coached in the NFL for 35 years the other night. We had a really good talk, and I don't want to bring his name up. You guys would know him very well. He's a very well-known football coach in the NFL.
But come on, FP. You can't, if you want to keep something anonymous, then you can't talk up how amazeballs it is and then still stay anonymous.
And give him the full resume of 35 years in the business.
It rhymes with Morv Werner.
Okay, all right.
I talked to him for a while about a lot of things. And then we had a nice, conversation about football. And we talked for, I don't know, about an hour. And I saved the question I wanted to ask first for last. And I asked him what he thought about Brock Purdy. And he said that he likes his game and his intangibles and the way he approaches it and his confidence. But he thought that a lot of the decisions that he's been making are going to get him in trouble. Or could get him into trouble moving forward. And he was wondering if maybe he comes back a little bit or he just keeps going forward. And I think it's based on who's around him. And I think these are things we all know, right? I mean, it wasn't like news-breaking things. They're things that we all kind of figured, right? Like, it depends who he's surrounded with, the plays that Kyle calls for him, and the decisions he makes. But the ad-libbing stuff, I think, was kind of a concern on how that evolves moving forward.
And Morv was a great coordinator, too, in his time, no doubt.
Morv was a fantastic offensive coordinator, pretty damn good head football coach for a long time.
FP, thank you, sir.
All right, guys, I miss you. It was fun talking to you, and I hope you have the best rest of the show ever in the history of the world.
Yeah, what are you doing next? Where are you going? What are you doing?
I'll be in Philadelphia for the Philly series, and then on to Colorado for the Rockies series, and then I'm in Pittsburgh toward the end of the month in May. So
okay.
All right.
Those are three nice ballparks.
Yeah, you didn't get the Boston trip, unfortunately. You just got the back half of that.
No, if you're a Hall of Fame broadcaster, you get the Boston trip, should get the Boston trip. Yeah. That's how it should be.
That makes sense.
All right, buddy. We'll see you soon, I hope.
All right, guys. Take care. See ya.
Okay. All right. There it is. Final pitch with FP Santangelo.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
we really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.